Hey there. Before we begin this episode, I really, really hope that you're in a safe space with a roof over your head. We have been experiencing catastrophic flooding all across the country. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, and the rain keeps coming. Many have lost their homes, their possessions, their friends, their family. I think that this is a season we should be extra careful with our movements and extra generous to offer help where possible. Stay safe. This is Mama Tales, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. Today, I have a very, very special episode. But I feel like I say that each week, but you know, it really is. Late last year, I got a chance to sit down with two of my favorite people who also happen to host a really fun podcast. Akumu and Claire are the brilliant minds behind Yes Girls, a show that takes us into a world where daring adventures, riveting stories, and life-changing moments are born out of the simple act of saying yes. I have always wondered how I could be a guest on their show because I'm a big fan. So, as luck would have it, Claire got pregnant, and we immediately jumped on the opportunity of doing a collaboration. Claire was still a few months off from giving birth when we shot this episode, so you can definitely hear the never-ending thoughts and fears from a soon-to-be first-time mom. So that's what I'm going to be playing for you today. This episode we recorded was produced, edited, and published by the Yes Girls and their team. Enjoy!
So for this brand new and huge topic of motherhood specifically, we thought, let's get a real expert in. I need some guidance, after all.
So Sally is not a motherhood expert.
Who think you are?
Get
just
out.
A mom.
We got the wrong expert. Hello, yes people, and welcome to another...
Mini.
Yep, a mini episode of the Yes Girls, otherwise known as a Yesticle. We like to call these mini episodes yesticles, as we hope you do too, mostly because it sounds naughty, but also because it sounds a bit like a listicle or something small, short and sweet, and like a teaser for what's to come. These episodes come in between seasons of the Yes Girls and might be to look back on the season or episode just gone, give some additional background on the podcast or on some of the things that we or you have been saying yes to.
This is a season 6 yesticle, meaning it's coming after season 6 and just before season 7. And this episode's going to go a little off script, allowing us to let loose.
As you may have been following, if you've been listening to season 6, one of us here is brewing a new little yes person.
And it is not me.
Are you sure?
Last time I checked, it's not me.
Go check again.
I'll check tonight. But we thought, what better time to invite one of our great podcasting friends and motherhood spokesperson, Sally of Mama Tales, to studio with us. And we want her to explore, you know, this little new yes person, what it means for us in the podcast. Yep, it's a new topic.
Yep, and we like to consult experts. So for this brand new and huge topic of motherhood specifically, we thought, let's get a real expert in. I need some guidance, after all. Personally.
So for this year's cycle, we are saying yes to motherhood because we are
the Yes Girls
and moms.
Oh, you're also a mom.
Yeah.
Part of
yeah.
Moms, right?
So you should say it as well.
So we are
the Yes Girls and moms.
And moms.
So Sally, why don't we start off with an introduction in your own words? Who is Sally and what is Mama Tales?
So Sally is not a motherhood expert.
We think you are.
Get
just
out.
A mom.
We got the wrong expert.
Just a mom trying to figure it out. So my name is Sally Kuria. I am a mom of two little munchkins, one who's a girl who's 3.5, boy who is 1.5. And I am also the founder of Hadithi Collective. That's an outfit that celebrates life through stories. And the product of it is Mama Tales podcast. So Mama Tales, I started this back in 2021, 11 months after the birth of my daughter. And I did this to kind of understand what was going on with me. Everything that I was consuming just seemed a little off, a little too nice and too rosy. I was like, where's the fallen hair? Why is no one talking about the fatigue? Like where's the real stuff? So I kind of just started this off on a whim. Couldn't sleep one day. The idea came to my head. I was like, I need to make this happen. I didn't know if anyone would want to share this. But one thing I've learned over time is that motherhood brings community. Motherhood brings a lot of shared experiences. So at a drop of a hat, a mom is always ready to share. Right. So I put it out a call, be like, hey, does anyone want to share the story? And that was 2021 and the stories have not run dry yet. Yeah. So that's what Mama Tales is. It's this collection. I mean, it's a podcast that celebrates our collective motherhood journeys, the ups, the downs, the weird things, all just trying to understand what is happening. Cool. And I'm happy to be here, right? No Welcome. Expert, but someone.
You are definitely the expert in this room. Let's put it that way.
Definitely. And Sally, immediately you found out that Claire was expecting. You jumped at the chance to do a collabo. Why do you think this sort of collabo is important?
I feel like I even had a drink in my hand. I must have almost thrown it out. Yeah. I think, one, I'm usually very excited when I hear someone is about to be a mom. But also have a bit of, I don't think I have the right word, but I'm usually also very cautious about it because I know the reality of it. Yeah. So as much I take any opportunity that I can, I have, especially if someone is very willing for it, to share, right? So Claire being a podcaster who's very excited about saying yes to a lot of new experiences is like, well, and I have the experience for you.
Experience of a lifetime.
Yeah. Experience of a lifetime. So I was just like, yeah, that would be really great to just, you know, merge our hours a little bit together. So you see, because you do say yes to motherhood. It's one of those things that you just can't like, you know, just do. You actually have to be there. So I was just like, this would be something that would be really, really awesome for us to do. And I was like, I'm a big fan of this podcast. When else will I come here?
Awesome.
Yeah.
It is
we love
perfect.
You too.
Yes.
Now, Sally, we want to be mindful of the fact that our listeners or followers might fall into very different camps.
Yep.
So we want to be as inclusive as possible. Mm-hmm. There might be those who have kids and are curious to hear what a motherhood podcaster has to say.
Mm-hmm. And there might be some who know they probably don't ever want kids, kind of like me.
And then those who are on the fence, undecided, also maybe like Akumu on certain days.
Yep.
Or maybe they're not there right now, or they don't feel like they've reached the age or met the one, or there's those who might not be able to have kids or are currently struggling to have kids themselves, which is a whole different sort of journey. So how can we introduce the topic of motherhood to be as inclusive as possible to everyone? Or is that even the right way to refer to the topic? No, what are your thoughts?
Motherhood expert.
Motherhood experiential person. Anyway, here's the thing, right? Before I've seen this to a lot of people, before you actually step into it, you have all these grandiose ideas of what motherhood is. You're like, every woman should be a mother. Motherhood is this beautiful gift we are given and stuff like that, right? But you rarely see anything around it that is not what we've been fed, right? You don't see that it's not obvious for you to get pregnant. I think that was one of the biggest lessons that I saw, and not personally experienced it, but I've seen it with a lot of people. It's not obvious. It's also not obvious that you want to be a mother, but does that say mean that you're no longer a woman? Right? Because we've been taught that being a woman is being this nurturing person who brings life to earth, but we need to redefine what that is and not hold it against anyone who doesn't want to be a mom. And I think there's usually two camps to this, and I think we've talked about this before with you. There are those who are like, you need to become a mom so that you go through what I've gone through. And the others will be like, stay away, please. You don't really have to, you know what I mean? Mm. But all in all, it's a personal decision. I think motherhood, in as much as you have the mechanics for it, we have to realize that it's a big chunk of a woman's life. Once you become a mom, you're always a mom, right? So it's one of those things of like, is it worth everything that you need to put in? Is it worth, say you're doing IVF treatments, you're doing this. It's because you really want it, right? It's also the sense of like, I don't need this in my life. And that's totally all right. So I have no right to just like, everybody needs to be a mom. Everybody needs to have these things. It's a whole thing, right? It's a very personal topic. And I think we need to keep reminding ourselves of that fact that it's a choice like everything else. Just because you can do it
doesn't mean you should.
That doesn't mean you should, right? And just because it seems seemingly hard to get to it doesn't mean you have to give up either. There's so many other ways to do this. So I've definitely become a lot more cautious when it comes to motherhood. And I think platforms like Mama Tales kind of help us see that. Because even on the show, I've had women who are not interested in being mothers, and they talk about their perspective. I've also had people who really struggled to become moms, and they didn't even think they'd have to struggle to do this, right? But they're there, and they're the people who are just like, you know what, this is just my life, right? So it's I like how open it is, or rather how open it should be for everyone,
And there's even one we forgot to list, which is maybe an additional question here is becoming a mother giving birth or having a child, or is there a whole journey after that? Because there's also the women who will give birth, right, and then not feel like I'm a mother, and that's a whole other journey, right? Which you have to undertake if you struggle. You know, and that we definitely don't talk about enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole can of worms, to be honest, because like I said, you have the physical apparatus to bring forth this child, right? But then, and even if you're not giving birth and adopting, right? Either way, you're there and you've taken the term mom. That's who you are. However, actually doing it is something else. There's a physical obligation of keeping them alive through feeding and then all this. But then there's a whole other thing that, like I was saying, it just never ends.
Yeah.
It just never ends. Like, my mom is getting to her 60s. Her kids are well on their way to living their own lives, but she'll just still be there and just be like, hey, did you guys eat? I'm like, mom, you're...
She can't turn it off. I think
so. You cannot turn it off. And now it just becomes on you, like, fine, you've brought life into this world, but what are you doing with it? You know? So even that idea of motherhood needs to just go far and wide away from just, you know, we are related 50-50 DNA here. You know, it's just a can of worms that just needs to be open, and you peel back layer after layer after layer after layer. I can guarantee you, Claire, when a child comes out of you, you won't know everything.
Yeah.
You will never know everything. My mom is like 60 now and she does not know everything. There's always something that comes, right? Yeah. And you just have to go with it. Yeah.
Maybe that's why even you don't be called a motherhood expert. No one can ever be.
You can never really. To be honest, if anyone ever stands and says they're a motherhood expert, I'll be like, are you really? Are you? The best we can say is, right? I'm learning. And I think with the podcasts, I think I even said this back in the first episode, I'm taking you with me as I learn, right? I'm not going to be teaching you and say, this is the way, right? No. Even I hated being told that this is just the one way. There's no one way to anything, right? I'm just being like, hey, maybe I just learned this thing. Or you hear someone's experience and you're like, okay. That relates to me in this way. Doesn't mean I need to react the same way. But I'm like, at the very least, it feels normal. Right. So I've never stand anywhere. And if I ever did ever say I'm an expert, no. But it's just that sense of like, I'm leaving it, right?
Yeah.
So there's some sort of wisdom the right word, but there's just like this, I've made my mistakes, right? And I've learned from them, and also really advocate for people making their own mistakes and just learning from it as well.
Yeah. Mm. And I like that you have your lived experience, but then you deliberately seek out other stories, other experiences to pull from.
Yeah.
Even if they differ vastly from yours.
They differ vastly. Key. And that's the thing, like you go through what seem like, you know, everyone, you go through this, these are the steps. You get pregnant, pregnancy goes to term, you give birth, it's the same story, at least in the base level, but how everyone experiences it. I've had over, now I think I just released my 45th episode. Yay. No story is similar.
Mm. They're all different.
Listen, some are as night as day and night, right? But there's nothing that's similar. Mm. Yeah. But there's always something you can grab. Sorry. You're just like, I get that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. I understand what that woman is saying, and I can see what that means, and how does that relate to me in my life?
Okay. Yeah. So now that we've got that out of the way, a whole can of worms, I always have issues with this word, preliminary. I have to say it slowly, otherwise it'll become someone else. So I have other, so we're starting with the question. So what made you say yes to motherhood? If you did.
What made me say yes to motherhood? To be honest, it's actually one of the things that I recently started thinking about. I don't think I thought there was any other option, right? Mm. It was just like, you go to school, you get a job, you get married, you get kids.
It's just written.
It's just part of the plan. I didn't actually take a second to think about it. I mean, I always knew I wanted kids. But did I want them because people have kids? Or did I want them because Sally herself? Mm. One's children. I didn't even know what that meant. Because even when my kids, even now when I look at them, I'm just like, you're mine. Like, how did that translate into this tiny human beings? It does not help that they look nothing like me. Right? So it's hard to see yourself in there. But you're just like, you know, this, I didn't even think it was a choice. So I can't really say that I said yes to motherhood. I just was just like, we go with it, right? Mm. But I did make a conscious effort towards the type of mother that I want to be.
Okay.
So when we got married, I quit my job. Like legit the same month.
Mm.
It was like, off to wedding, I'm never coming back here. Mm. You know what I mean?
Claire, what do you think? Are you going to do that? I just wanted to scare
her.
And my mind here was, I wasn't quitting to just be like, now I'll go mother. And no. I wasn't even pregnant. Mm-hmm. But it was just in my head. It was just like, the type of mom I want to be, mm-hmm. I want to be very present for my family. And this 8-to-5 gig is not cutting it, right? It also, I also had my own professional ideas and stuff like that. So I was just like, let me give myself time to create this new career or life that will be flexible for me to be able to be the primary caregiver for these future kids, right? Plot twist, a month later I was pregnant. Pregnant, jobless.
Wow.
With nothing done or whatever. You know what I mean? So I was just like, well, that backfired in my mind, you know? But it's only recently that I realized that, excuse me, young madam, that was probably the best thing that happened to you, because now I'm living that life that I had envisioned. Mm. I had no idea that motherhood is what would take me there. None whatsoever. In fact, I thought motherhood was, well, sis, you've just ruined your life now. Like, that's it. Like, this is you. I even tried the whole housewife thing. Not to bash. But it was not for me. But I tried it. I tried it.
At least you know.
At least I know. I was just like, you know, I did it. I did it. It was great. But this itch, this creative itch just never left, you know. And then I just started dabbling this way. But did I say yes to motherhood? Not consciously, but I did make some conscious efforts to make sure that I that I'm prepared for it. So maybe in a way, maybe I did say yes.
You did say yes, even during, yes, right?
Yeah.
You didn't necessarily say yes before, but you found yourself there.
Just like, no, it was really fantastic. I mean, it was when I found out, I was scared, but you know, there's that slither of like, yay, yeah, it's actually happening. Yeah.
And that perfectly demonstrates the difference between birthing a person and being a mother.
Yes.
I guess, right? Yeah. Becoming a mother and being conscious as a parent, parent, mother, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And so would you say that it has been maybe the motherhood part more than the pregnancy and giving birth part? Has it been the biggest challenge you've ever said yes to?
Let me tell you, it's been the biggest thing ever that I've ever done with anything in my life. Let me give you an example. I think my daughter was, say, 2 weeks. I had a very, it wasn't great. It wasn't a great start to motherhood. Just physically, just everything was just not going well. And I just sat there at the edge of my bed, staring into a closet, holding her, and just tears just falling down my face. I was just like, what is this? What is happening? I was so overwhelmed, you know? And then my husband comes in, and he came in with the most unlikely thing. If anyone knows my husband, this is the farthest thing that my husband would ever do. He had printed out a large printout of the Serenity Prayer. My husband, for context, is not religious in any shape, way, or form whatsoever, right? But here he printed out a prayer of God, grant me the grace to you know, there was a time I'd memorized it with everything. And we put it now in the cupboard and we just looked at it. It's like, yeah, we need grace. You need some grace to handle this because, especially as a first-time parent, it hits you. Mm-hmm. You think you're prepared. But then just the reality of it, it hits you. And it's not the same for a lot of people go through that. But then the others were just like, you know what, I handled it. But for me, it was really hard. And then the second wave of the challenge came when I realized it doesn't stop. You know, it will get better. I don't even get better. You get used to it. And then something else comes in. I will say, if you get comfortable, there's something around the corner. Yeah, if you're like, oh man, you're so rested. There's something coming next week. You know what I mean? So that idea that I'll always have to be on my toes, it won't be easy. I won't know what next year will look like. Before I could at least project things. Now I can't even project next week. It's like, I'll just go with the flow. So it's definitely been the hardest thing because everything changes around it. Yeah. Right? You even forget. I used to use this term where you forget yourself. But now I think about it as I found myself. Or a new version of me that will never look like anything that was before. But it's, and in many ways, I feel like it's better. You know, so it's just like, it's good. It's good that challenge has brought me here and it should always just keep me on my toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we want to dig a little deeper, deeper than that. Can you even go deeper than that?
Go deep.
But first, a break.
So, Sally, we all know that parenthood is a lifelong journey. Funnily enough for me, I'm not too scared of the sleepless nights in the beginning or the crying and nursing, right? Like those first 2 weeks you're talking about, which sound horrible, but it doesn't last long, right? What scares me is the responsibility for guiding and accompanying a new person in this big, scary, you know, ass over tip world that we live in and helping them become a person, a member of society, a good person, ideally. Does that resonate with you and what you're trying to do with the podcast?
I mean, it doesn't last forever. That's the sleepless nights. I think they just morph to you get really good with little hours of sleep. You're not really sleeping.
Like you said, you just get used to it.
You just get used to it. If you get a full, like now with my eldest, she's 3.5. And I mean, they're all very good independent sleepers. But there's just something that you know, we had a nightmare session, I mean, season, and then we had teething or we had, this is something that always make you wake up at night. So you get better with, and that's the thing, the physical things, you're okay. You're like, fine, I can deal with this, rightfully so. But you're right, the other part of like forming this person. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to have this running joke with my husband before our daughter came. I was like, you know, if I tell her that the nose is called an ear, she'll believe that. Mm. And then she'll be messed up for life. Wondering why you people lied to me. I'm like, you know, that's a problem. Because legit, I always say there's someone who messed me up early in life because I cannot, for the life of me. So the way you look at an analog clock and you immediately know that I can't read an mm-hmm. analog clock. Neither can I count money if it's on my hands. Like if you put coins, I can't do that. There's some mismatch. And I'm like, something happened in the foundational years. Mm. And I'll guarantee you that the thing that you'll always see is that the foundational years are so important.
Yeah.
So then now comes the mom guilt. You're like, oh my God, if they're watching out too much TV, have I fried the brain cells? Or if they, if I don't let them go outside, will they do that? You know.
Am I creating childhood trauma?
Mm. I am. Just that thing. You know, if I wake them up, oh my God, I've ruined their brains and something of that sort. So that is the biggest part. Mm-hmm. That, in fact, that's your biggest enemy as you're trying to parent your child. You're just trying to think about, you immerse yourself too much in what this person will be, what they'll do, how I will ruin them, how I will do, you know, you're never thinking, wait, I think this guy's like chips. Let me just make them some fries for now. Or, oh, he's really liking the butterflies. Maybe we should go to a park where we can see a lot of butterflies and things like that. Without realizing that those little touch points are the ones that create foundation, right? Your fears do nothing but make that harder.
Yeah.
Right. So, and then another thing that I learned from someone on the podcast, they're like, no matter what type of parenting you do, your child will still go to therapy. There's some trauma you'll give, whatever. It doesn't matter if you're perfect, if you're whatever the case. They'll always need something.
Be and like, society can still mess them up.
You'd want to keep them in a bubble, but you can't. You realize, like yesterday, I saw my, there's a boy in our estate who's roughly the same size and height and age with my son. And this boy had like a toy gun, like not the colorful ones, like it's a gun,
the black
and everything. Oh. And it's just, the kid didn't know what it is. I'm sure even I don't know if the parent is the one who gave him the gun. You know what I mean? My kids have no idea what a gun is.
Mm. I'm glad you said parent and not father.
Yeah, just like a parent. Whoever gave this boy the gun, you know, maybe even picked it up from wherever. But I was seeing like my son next to him with the gun, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm protecting them from that, but there's nothing I can do for outside. Mm. And they'll always be outside.
Yeah.
Right? I remember the first time my daughter went to daycare and she came back home with a cold. And I was like, which parent would let their child go to school when they're sick so that they infect the others? Until I realized that these guys take like 3 weeks to get over a cold. You're like, will you stay in this house for 3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Even at some point, I took my daughter. I was just like, I guess this is how it rolls. You know what I mean? So there's only so much you can do to protect. There's only so much you can do to mold. You just tell yourself, you know what? Me, I've done my best. I'm doing my best. And even if it doesn't look too great, I have to give myself some grace, right? Because I also have my own issues. I can't be the perfect parent if I'm not perfect in my way. And there's no way I'll ever be perfect. I have my own trauma and wounds and whatever that I will also subconsciously pass on, you know? So unless you also now take the work to work on yourself, and then there's a lot of intentionality. That's all I'll say. There's just you can't just go with it. You just, if you feel, if by the time you're asking yourself that question, you're really becoming very intentional. Mm. And it's a good thing. So you just go towards it. But on the other hand, it can be a crutch because, you know, you experience a lot of guilt with it, right? So mom guilt is a thing. And it's so bad because you do it to yourself. You're like, your kids wake up, late in the day and you're like, oh man, now it's my fault. They won't have a good, you know, it's like
they'll fail in life
because they didn't even get 3 8 hours of sleep. Oh, you know, it's always your fault. Right? Wow. Child will fall outside and you'll be like, oh my, why did I let them go? Has nothing to do with you. But I don't know if it's the programming that we have in our heads that you must have done something wrong. It takes a lot of self-awareness to get out of it. Like, I'm talking like I've conquered it. I haven't. There are moments it still comes to me and I'm like, but what helps me, I wouldn't lie, is that I think about my husband. I'm like, would he worry about this? 100% chance. The answer is no. I'm like, then why am I bothering? Are they alive? Are they fed? Everything else, to be honest, is a bonus.
Yeah.
And if I know consciously that I've done, I'm doing my best, the decisions I'm making are for their best.
But that's, I mean, to summarize what you said, yeah, there's being intentional, that intentionality of how you want to do things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, also just following your instinct, not falling into that mum guilt and second guessing everything. If your kid likes butterflies, then go to the park to show them butterflies because they'll enjoy it. So that duality is really interesting. And then also going easy on yourself and saying,
yeah,
I'm doing the best I can. I can't control everything.
Yeah, that one, you have to practice it. I won't lie. It's, even now, I just have to keep thinking about it. Just like I can't, not everything can be against me. Even I have to back myself once in a while. I just like, you know what? Sally, you're a great mom, right? Probably haven't to. I think today I've seen them for like an hour max. And I'm like, that's dropping zero. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, you tell yourself like, and then yesterday I was with them the entire, it's fine. It's fine. One day won't kill anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But before you just be like, oh man, so horrible. Like they'll sleep without seeing you. Will they even sleep?
Will they remember you tomorrow?
Let me tell you, that mom deals, man.
Go easy on yourself.
You just have to. It's a muscle you practice over and over and over again. Yeah.
So already you've shared like some lived experience wisdom that you've gathered and that I think they're general enough to apply to anyone, right? Giving yourself grace, having those intentional thoughts, but also going with your instincts. They are your children after all. They're not anyone else's children. Are there any other major tips that you have found have given you comfort or things that maybe we can all take on board when it comes to raising children, even if they're not our own, right?
Yeah.
Because most of us have nieces or nephews or neighbors, right? We might see a kid in the compound or in our estate playing with a gun. And some of us struggle to know how to interact with kids at all. So, yeah, any tips for major tips that have worked for you as a parent and also just interacting with children and being part of that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child.
I think one thing is I would really stay away from passing any sort of judgment, right?
On parents.
On parents, even on kids, especially on kids. Because if they're younger than 10, they're probably saying everything they've had from home. They're not at the point where they have agency to make their own thoughts. You know what I mean? Like, even the kid with the gun, boy doesn't know what he's 1.5. He doesn't know what he's holding. So I can't just be like, oh, man, you're such a bad child. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And that's the thing, because kids are also very brutally honest as well and have no filter, right? So they'll carry that, take it everywhere. You know, like, my daughter will go out and be like, oh, yeah, my mom only wears black underwear. Who needs to hear that information? You know, and I'll be so, because I'm like, okay, I guess that's out.
And they're very happy with the statement.
Very, like, they'll shout. There's nothing as loud as a 3-year-old telling you things
with
they should not be saying. You know, it should be like, I was told, it's loud. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where you're just like, you need to understand that a lot of the thoughts that they're forming and this is, are coming from home. And also the parents that are at home, you also know that y'all are not brought up the same way. So you cannot expect that you have similar values, right? So you cannot just be like, hey, that chick is a bad mom. Like, I barely see her with her kids or I barely do this. I don't know what you're doing. And I think that's something I learned through the work with the podcast. I just learned that people have very many different things driving them. So I might have my own perception of it, but I don't need to share it. I don't need to make it influence how I interact with someone. Unless someone is putting somebody in danger, mm-hmm. then I'd be like, maybe that's not, you know. And the other thing with kids, you really have to slow down. Mm-hmm. I think that's something kids have really taught me, and it's something that I keep practicing, and I tell people, just slow down. First of all, the things move really quickly with them. So you might be here trying to think about when you start to wean them in to start eating food and stuff like that, and they're barely opening their eyes at 2 weeks old. But you've already started going, they're like, oh, I need a big supply for when I go back to work, and mm-hmm. you're not even seeing this person who can't even see you very well. It's just, she's just trying to make mm-hmm. out your features and stuff like that. So even taking a minute to just sit with them, mm-hmm. follow their eyes, where their eyes going. It's a very calming experience. The other thing about it is these kids, it's the when we enter a room like this, you've already seen the things that matter to you. You've seen the mics, you've seen the couch, you go there. The reason kids go everywhere, it's because everything is new.
Everything mm-hmm. is interesting.
Everything is interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So they'll be slow. Even when you're walking with them, they'll be very slow. They'll be like, oh, what is that? I need to go see this. And then sometimes you're like, wait a minute, have I even noticed that there? Yeah. You know, like there's some things my son gets to in the house. I'm like, we've had that there. I'm like, I didn't even see. I didn't know that was there. But it helps you see that well. And I say this especially with people who are interacting with kids. I'm actually very awkward with kids that are not mine.
Really?
No, I'm not a kid's
person. You look
like
a natural. Like, No.
I panic with children. It's just that mine can't refuse me. You know, they don't have a choice. But I do actually panic with children. But what I noticed is if you show interest in what they're doing, mm-hmm.
I've experienced that.
Don't even say, oh, good job. No. Someone does a puzzle like, oh, could you show me how you did that?
Mm-hmm. And they're so excited.
Oh, right? My God. It's like you've given them everything that they need in life, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, let me show you. And like, oh, my daughter comes up because she's still learning how to speak and how to this and how to construct sentences. So, and her imagination is wild. I'm pretty convinced she has an imaginary friend. I thought those were lies, but she does have one. She's called Johnny. I'll go sit somewhere like, Johnny, make it apple.
She talks with Johnny.
Yeah, this is just... There's a time she was very obsessed with this song, Johnny, yes, Papa. So I'm assuming. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you see, she'll tell you a full-on story about this thing. I don't know if it's a... Are we talking about a dream? Mm-hmm. It's something that you're seeing. Are you pretty? But if you enter that world, oh man, it's magical, right? Mm. But you see, us, we're always in a rush. We just like,
yeah,
you want to move things along, you want to do the next thing. You have very little time for imagination and stuff like that. But you just take that minute, just like, let me enter this world a little bit. You'll even understand why they get angry. You know, like, you know, like, say she grabs my one of the toys and my, there's a good example. My daughter does this very big imaginative play things. So she has a toy stuffed monkey that she likes changing the diaper and everything. Mm-hmm. But when she does that, she moves around with like a bag. It's an old chocolate bar bag. It's empty. And then there's just knickknacks in there. There's nothing really useful. There's a toy car. There's maybe some wipes and stuff. But she moves around with it, with this monkey. My son sees the car in the bag, and he wants the car. Mm. So he grabs the car. My daughter just flips, and I'm like, but you're not using the car.
But she has a plan for it.
But she has a plan for it. It's part of her thing, right? And she gets very angry, right? It's very easy for me to be like, you're being silly and reasonable, and I'm going to get mad at you, and you know this, and then I shout. Mm. But I haven't realized that it's like you on your desk, there's a reason something is on there, and then someone just grabs the thing, and like, hey, I was using that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's this, you just need to, sometimes I'm always like, enter this child's world, even go down to their level.
Actually, they say that even physically, yeah. Yeah, if you're talking to them, you go down.
Go down. Mm-hmm.
They also see you.
Yeah, you're towering. Tower over them and then you shout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you just go down and then even look around, I'd say the best tip for baby-proofing
is just go down.
Mm-hmm.
What are they seeing?
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're going to go for.
Yeah.
So if it's something you don't want to be touched, move it up a level. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's it. With kids, you just have to be, you just slow down. Don't pass any sort of judgment. And I guess that, again, I'll just bring this again because we need to hear it a lot. Just give yourself a lot of grace.
Okay. So now your podcast is obviously Kenyan.
Yeah.
And you're raising kids in Kenya. Do you see any disconnect between your content or what you're advocating or even what you've been taught and feedback and learnings from other countries? Like, do you feel like raising kids is very different in very different parts of the world?
So I'm going to answer that in a few ways. And I'm sorry if I talk for too long. I tend to do that. I'm like, never give me a microphone.
So we're letting ourselves in for, we invited a podcast in.
Yeah,
podcast,
I mean, studio. You guys.
And Claire can listen to this for the rest of her life.
Yeah, so please. And every time you stop me, I'll just start it again. But here's the thing. One, and that's why I actually even started this podcast. There's a problem with the type of content we consume. The apps that we're using to prepare ourselves for motherhood and birth, and the ones that we use to even support us, because I am a big proponent of apps and books and stuff like that, they're all very Western-based,
mm-hmm.
right? So you wouldn't quickly relate to something, right? So even this sense of, I remember things that I wasn't really relating with a lot, I used to use this app called Baby Center.
Mm.
Is like moms, I think as early as 8 weeks, are like, oh, we're doing genetic testing to do the gender of the baby. And I'm like, that's a thing you can actually do. Me, I'm very used to like, you'll wait until due week 20, you go to an ultrasound and you know, mm-hmm. It's not that big a deal here to figure out genders. I mean, it's now becoming, but before it was just like, bruv, you'll just give birth to a child. It's not that big a thing that you have to go extra to mm-hmm. do this. Next is just like even how you describe rashes and things and colors, and like if your child turns blue, I'm like, there's no way my child will ever turn blue. I'm like, what other color should I be looking for? You know what
Brown.
I mean?
Yeah.
And even like some elements, I remember like, because American-based, them talking about the child going to daycare as early as 3 weeks because they don't have maternity leave. I'm like, isn't daycare for like kids who are like, now is when my
walking,
daughter,
right?
Where I went to daycare and she was three. I'm like, it's not relatable, right? Mm. So there's an issue with that. And sometimes you start bringing a lot of what we've read and seen to try and implement without even seeing if it makes any sense. Right, because that's all you're seeing, right? That's everything that's there. It's like, you have to do this, especially I think another big thing was something like tongue tie. Up until now, I don't know if tongue tie is a thing. I've seen a couple of people. I don't know. But it's something that will make it harder for your child to breastfeed. I think I've mm-hmm. seen it with one other person.
Yeah, like a short, the thing under the tongue is like too tight and you have to get it loosened.
Yeah, that was a big thing on Baby Center mm-hmm. when our kids were born. I kept looking at my daughter and my son. I'm like, am I missing something? Is that the reason we are not feeding well? Is that, you know, but it's not anything that we see or we are sensitized to, you know? Now, all of a sudden, there's just a lot of disconnect, at least when it comes to that. But on the other hand, I see them as a way of thinking out of the box. So it depends on how you use this information, right? So one of the biggest helpers for me, I call it our third parent,
mm-hmm.
is this book by Gina Ford called The Contented Baby. And that book is very, it has brought even issues even in the Western world, wherever it came from, because it's from this woman who's not a mother, but has been a nanny to I think thousands of families, right? So she's created a formula to try and help you predict your baby.
Mm-hmm.
And people always tell you kids are not predictable. You can't be doing this. You can't do that. You can't do this. Well, you know, there's a lot of can't, especially in our setting.
Mm-hmm.
Like you really just have to do it the way your mother did it, you know? But she comes, and I think the biggest things are like,
one, setting some sort of feeding and napping schedule. Mm-hmm. I remember when I tried that, my mom was just like, you're being stubborn, you're trying to manage your child like a project. No one knows what a child is. But if you think about it, even the people who don't have any schedules, your child has a schedule, right? So something like the day starts at 7, it ends at 7. So even until now with my kids, our days start at 7 and they end at 7. That's when they go to sleep. And then now you organize things underneath. There's an idea of waking a sleeping baby. I didn't know how big of a deal that was until I started waking up my child, and I'd be like, oh, and a lot of things are just myths. Oh, you interrupt their brain cells and stuff. I'm like, I'm just waking someone
Make
up.
Make them dumber.
That's you like hurt them somewhere. I'm like, how? If they're napping for 3 hours, this child is not going to eat or sleep. Like, it doesn't make any sense. There has to be some structure to this. I'm a person who loves structure. So I used that to create some things like that. And then another big proponent for me was baby-led weaning. Mm-hmm. This I did get from the Western world. The foods didn't make sense. I don't even know what an applesauce is.
Yeah.
As a fast meal, I was like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? As it's uji and stuff like that. But the mechanics of it made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We need to trust that a child can learn how to chew, can learn how to eat the food that you eat. You guys need to eat together. You know what I mean? Not they're alone or somewhere stuck on a high chair and you're just feeding them. If all of you are eating together, that child is more likely to eat. If you don't put pressure, like, you need to eat everything there on that plate.
Hey, story of our lives.
You know, thank you. You're like, you have to eat everything that's on that plate, right? And then I ask you, when's the last time you ate everything that was on your plate? When's the last time you didn't feel hungry? Why are you expecting that child? Mm. And they're human. My mom used to tell me that there's a time my mom would be those force feeding. What are force feeding? Please, no. Force feeding me, and I was crying and refusing. And then my dad was just like, but she's a human being. At some point, she will be hungry. Mm-hmm. It's basic biology, right? So, I mean, she left me, and then apparently they found me in the middle, early morning, I'd opened the fridge and taken out some cold rice and sat on the floor eating it. And so he was like, see?
You see?
I told you that this child will... And that's the same thing. You're not always hungry. Like a child, especially when they're that young, we are forced by, you know, your mom comes and like, your child is thin. Pani akulangi.
There's this thing. It's an African thing.
It is. It's like, you know, we need to see. So you feel like every time you go to the clinic, and I used to say, I think I shared this earlier in my podcast, early days, going to the clinic feels like you're going for an exam.
I really love what you're saying, Sally, that you can have the mother's myths. Mm-hmm. You can have the research from the new app. Research it, question it, and choose what's right for you. So one thing I struggle with as a soon-to-be mum is knowing how much life is going to change. Mm-hmm. Like, will I still be able to or want to run? Will I still be a podcaster? Will I ditch all my friends and become just a blob of mumness for whom nothing else matters? Because I've seen family and friends who surprised me by taking a route I didn't expect, right? And some really lose a sense of who they are. Well, that's how I see it. I'm judging. Mm-hmm. So how can we start to reconcile this? And is there a way to mitigate against this? Also, as a side note, do you think fathers face the same struggle in a mixed couple, right? We have a mother and a father.
I think there's quite a lot of loss. I think for new life to happen, something has to give. And one thing that I learned is when the day you give birth to your child, you also give birth to yourself as a mom. And that's because you will never, ever, 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 ever go back to who you were before. Never. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. It does start out looking rough. And bad, you will lose sense of self, sense of time. You'll forget what you used to like. You'll forget who you were like, I had so much time. What was I actually doing with it? You know what I mean? There's just like some elements of it that will just disappear. And you can easily just fall into that. you can just get roped up into it and be like, you know what? What's the point of life anymore? All I am is a milk bank. All I am is just, you know, these nipples that will be grabbed and draft and everything, right? But you could also see it in a different way where you're like, let me embrace this new self, right? It's actually a new self, right? Now you even find yourself, you see, I know you like running, but since it'll be so hard to run, you'll ask yourself, I really do like running because I'm going to spend as much time as possible trying to figure out how I can go out for a run. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you become very intentional about even the things that you do.
Things you even you question what you used to do.
So. Yeah, you're just like, was that a really good use of my time? You know what I mean? And that's not meant to say that, you know, now you're giving up things. You're probably giving something up but acquiring something new.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? It's just, you're like, I always tell people that if I've shown up for you, Yani, I have really valued what this is and what it will be for me and for you, right? Mm-hmm. Because I know what I'm losing or leaving behind, right? Mm. But it takes a lot to get there. So, I mean, yeah, there's that part of losing yourself. And then the thing with friends, man, that's hard. That's rough. That's actually one of the roughest parts of it. Because for sure, you will lose friends. Especially if they're not in the same space as you.
Mm.
You will lose them. I actually harbored quite a lot of resentment for my friends. Man, I don't think we pay enough attention to what dads go through. Because with women, you have the whole 9 months to get acquainted to this human that's growing inside you. Granted, when they come out, you start again.
Yeah.
But then you look at them, you're like, there's no way that was me. You know, but you get to have that. For dudes, it's like I wake up one day, now there's a child.
Suddenly you're a father.
Suddenly you're a father and you're like, I need to know. When you're breastfeeding, you get endorphins, you get this. But they don't get that.
Yeah.
Right? So even if you're up at night and you're tired, there's something you're doing. For him, it's just be like, so what I'm...
I think he's feeling very... Also because men want to feel like they want to do something.
They want to do something. They just don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. But your wife is there and struggling to give birth. And screaming and shouting, and there's nothing you can do to lessen her pain, right? Or you're being kicked out of the room because, see, you're a man. At home, you're trying to calm down the baby. And I've even found myself doing that. I'm trying to help my husband through it. I'm like, no, let me just do it. But he's trying to figure it out himself.
Yeah, and you should allow him.
I should allow him to do it, right? Mm. Because that's the thing. Now you start realizing, you stop using the word, help me do this. Like it's your child too. Like you're babysitting. Mm. You're still babysitting. It's like you're taking care of your child. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you have to give them. You can't all of a sudden wake up and trust that they know what they're doing if they never even got the chance to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Right?
They need to learn as well.
They need to learn. Like these days, when my daughter wakes up at night, I even turn. I'm like, bro, your daughter is
your job.
Like go. I'm like, go be a father. If they come to the bed, I just grab my pillow and I go to hers. I'm like, hey, bro, it's not for me. You know what I mean? But that's the thing. I think for us, since we got her during COVID and we didn't have help in the house, so he just had to. He wasn't helping. Mm-hmm. He was participating, right? But there's a struggle. And as I'm even telling you, like, your husband is your support person, right? But they need a support person too. Especially doing labor and all that stuff. They're probably even doing the admin work. I don't remember signing anything for anything.
Yeah, they do admin.
They do the admin, right? Process. But at the same time, they're also thinking about you. Because I remember for me when I was in the theater, because I ended up having an emergency section with my first. He did the admin work, and because it was COVID, there was nobody else that could have been there. So it was in the middle of the night and he had to wait for us alone in there. And it's the first time either of us has gone to any, you know, hospital and then surgery and then all this stuff. Yeah. So he hears my daughter cry and he's like, I feel like that's them. They bring him our daughter, and he's like, he couldn't even register. It's like, okay, that's fine. But then where's my wife?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, ah, the doctor will come talk to you about that. He's like, what do you mean
the doctor will come talk to you?
So scary.
You know, already he's just thinking, now I'm alone, dad. Like, what do you mean? Where's my... You know, he doesn't even register.
That's scary.
That there's a child there now, right? And the doctor comes and says, you know, we had a complication in surgery. And she... Because what happened for me is just like, the meds ran out, the anesthesia ran out. So I started feeling the pain. So when I started explaining that, then the doctor just like put her under, right? So I had to be taken under. But then that meant that it wasn't like I could just be rolled out immediately after the baby. Right? I had to stay. So my husband was just like, I'm not strong enough to. So he had to call someone, just be like, I need, how did we move from laughing 1 second to now telling me that my wife is not coming out anytime soon? You know what I mean? So there's that sense of like, they're also very vulnerable. They need to understand. Unfortunately, at some point, you have to tell them exactly where you, what help you need. But eventually, you won't have to. They'll just grab it, right? And then also giving them the agency over the kids. And I say giving because... I mean, kids tend to be the mother's child, you know, the mother's responsibility. So it's like you're letting someone in to taking care of them, which is not how it's supposed to be. It's a parenting. It's a should be like an equal thing, but because of how we've been taught, we grab it so much that you're like, "Mama, maybe you can do this," and it's overwhelming you. You're like, if you could just let go and. Bring your partner in it and be like, let's try and figure this out together.
You know? Let them be a partner in it.
Yeah.
And not
a helper or an assistant. No. Yeah. So that's, I think that would even be better for dads. Yeah. I think that would be, they would now feel like, wait, now I understand my role here. I know how best to support you.
I want to thank the Yes Girls, Aku and Claire, for having me on their podcast and letting me speak for over an hour. Let's just say I am dangerous behind a mic. Please do check out their website. These ladies have a ton of fun doing things that we can only dream of or convince ourselves that we cannot do. Also, happy new month! May is always a special month here. It is the month to celebrate mothers and is actually the month I became a mom myself. So it holds a lot more significance to me. If you're like me and you became a mom in May, reach out. Let me know. I don't know. Maybe we could do a thing. You can easily do that by shooting me a DM on my Insta or TikTok at Mama Tills Podcast or on my own personal page on Insta at Sally Mugore. If you're listening to this on YouTube, drop a comment below and we can link up. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, I think I will put a question tag. So just let me know and we will connect. I will leave links to all of this in the show notes. I have no idea what I'm going to do for Mother's Day for the podcast. That is, it had started to give me a lot of pressure, but I'm just going to go with the flow. So let's just stick around and see what happens. All right, that's it for this week. Catch you in the next one. Bye.